This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
Summer months are so much fun. You get to take your family to the beach and out into the woods and hiking and camping and all these things. But there's also little critters. There's bugs and ticks and things that are going on out there. Bees. My daughter particularly can't stand the bees. So what happens if you get these bug bites? Do you worry? What if they get a little red circle around them? My guest is fan favorite, Dr. David Hill, pediatrician. Welcome to the show. So Dr. Hill, first, we'll get into bee stings, okay? Because that's definitely something we want to talk about. But let's talk about some of the bug things first. Ticks and the little crawling things that you don't know what it is, spider bites. You know, are any of these really dangerous, or is it something you just, it's just a nuisance?
Right. Well, it depends on the bug, and it depends on where you live, right? You mentioned spiders. Spider bites are generally vanishingly rare. Most of what people think is a spider bite now is usually actually a methicillin-resistant staph infection, and a pustule or a boil that drains pus. Those are nasty. Get those seen. So even if you think it's a spider bite, get that seen. Now, if you actually see the spider, get it, because it can be hard to tell the difference. Don't put yourself at risk for being bitten, right? Get it carefully. But if you can bring it with you, that can be helpful, because there are really only a couple of dangerous kinds of spiders. There's black widows, and then there are your recluses. And I've had people bring me samples of both in little jars. It's been fun. But you know, they're not terribly common. You do get them, you know, holes, basements, wood piles. They can happen. So be aware of that. Ticks, it depends on where you are in the country. Everywhere, there are lots of different diseases that ticks can carry. The vast majority of tick bites, of course, don't produce a disease. Most people get bitten by ticks, and they don't get Lyme or Rocky Mountain spotted fever or Ehrlichia or southern tick-associated relapsing fever. You know, they don't get these things. But you can. Number one, if you see a tick on your child, you got to get it by the head. Don't squeeze the belly. So you want to sort of flip it up to where it's straight up or on its back, and then pull from the head parts with a fine set of tweezers. Do not take a match. Do not take chemicals to that thing. I've heard all sorts of horrible things.
I have,
too. Do not put bleach on it, gasoline, kerosene. No, no, don't do that. Just get some fine tweezers, and if you need to, some reading glasses, and try and grasp that little guy by the head. Now, if you see a lesion around the tick, either a red spot where the tick has bitten you, or especially telling sort of a target lesion that looks like a bullseye. The bullseye lesion is a strong predictor of Lyme disease. That really needs a doctor to look at it and probably to treat and consider testing. Kids who get fevers, rashes, headaches, belly pain, joint pain, feel really lousy after a tick bite should also be evaluated by a doctor. A lot of the tick bites that cause things like Rocky Mountain spotted fever and other tick-associated diseases never get reported. The ticks have a little anesthesia that they secrete into the skin. So they grab on, they have their meal, they drop off, you never knew it was there. The numbers are between 50 and 80% of people who are ultimately diagnosed with a tick-borne disease never saw the tick. So if your kid's been out in the woods, tall grass, brushy areas, consider that they easily might have had a tick bite that nobody knew about. You don't want to be reassured just because you never saw the tick. They're sneaky.
Well, it's so important, I think, to do a tick check. I mean, and I'd like you to, you know, tell us a little bit about DEET and some of the bug sprays, but a tick check, checking under the sock line, checking under your arms, checking your hairline, checking your dogs, you know, any animal you had out there with you, but definitely the sock line. I lived in Southern Illinois for 7 years and it was tick central. So, you know, you just have to give that little tick check. Do those bug sprays off and that sort of thing, are they just for mosquitoes or do they work on some of these other bugs?
There's some evidence that DEET can be helpful, and yet clothing is also really the key. Ticks don't drop from the trees. That's what I was told when I was a kid. They're going to drop from the trees. They're going to get you. They don't really do that. They cling to grasses and brushes and animals, and then when they rub against you, they jump on. And then they like to crawl to warm, moist places. So as embarrassing as it is, you really probably need to do a groin check and a hairline check and armpits and behind the ears. These are the places where ticks are especially happy. If kids will tuck their pants into their socks or their boots, that helps, you know, because there are fewer places to grab on if they're out there running around in bare feet and shorts, and there's a lot of exposed skin for these guys to get on.
Okay, so bee stings. Now, you know, every parent, when they've got a little kid at the park for the first couple of times, is terrified of that first bee sting. I know I was. My kid got stung, and then you watch the kid, you know, like for an hour just to see if there's any kind of... Are bee stings really as common as people think? And, you know, if they get stung, do we still do the baking soda? And, you know, my mom used to make that paste and stick it right on there.
Yeah. You know, interesting. Bee stings are fairly common. Kids are down there where bees are, so they're at some risk for being stung. Unless you have a sting allergy, then they tend not to be dangerous, but people can develop sting allergies at any point in their lives, and there can be some crossover between various stinging insects. Most importantly, if your child has ever had a true allergy to any sort of insect sting, and that would be shortness of breath, wheezing, hives all over, you can get a really big red spot where you get stung, and that's still considered a local reaction. Even if it's big, even if it's incredibly itchy and really painful, that's a local reaction. An allergy occurs when a reaction occurs not where you got stung. So hives all over. You got stung on your belly and your face swells up. You have a difficult time breathing or swallowing. Those are medical emergencies, and they need to be treated with epinephrine and then also with an antihistamine such as diphenhydramine. And then kids need to be watched because you can have a second phase reaction an hour or two after the first. So those are scary. But a sting that doesn't come with an allergic reaction is uncomfortable and unpleasant, but not scary and not life-threatening.
Okay, so is it true that the first bee sting a child gets wouldn't necessarily let you know they have an allergy? It's sting number two?
You know, you can get sensitized from repeat exposure to any kind of allergen. So, you know, you never know which sting is going to be the one that might lead to an allergy. If you see your kid get sting, it's a good thing, stung, good thing to keep an eye on her for a while later. A bad allergic reaction is usually going to occur within 15 minutes. So the ones that really scare you occur pretty rapidly. If your kid's been good for 15 or 20 minutes, you don't have to, like, keep watching her like a hawk for the next couple of hours. You're good. But you want to keep a close eye on her for a little while and make sure that she's all right.
So, you know, if you're at the beach, and I'm sure in North Carolina, we only have a minute left. So I would like your best advice on bee stings and bug bites and all of these things, and even stick a little bit in there about those beach flies, those biting flies. Are those dangerous?
Those are nasty. They're not dangerous, but they're rather unpleasant.
Oh, man, they're so unpleasant. So best advice, Dr. Hill.
Right. So stay away from the sugary stuff. Garbage cans, dumpsters tend to collect a lot of bees because they're like, hey, somebody dumped a soda here. This is my food, right? And also your kids, you might save the sugary beverages for when you're back indoors. You know, save those treats for when you're away from all the bugs because the bugs love that. And now you got a kid next to a bug. You also want to avoid the colors that we here in the Deep South love to. We want our children to look like flowers, but those same colors attract insects that like flowers. So honestly, you know, the darker colors, the camouflage, not a bad idea from an insect standpoint. And then, you know, don't pick up dead insects. That stinger may still be alive, or it may not be quite dead. Kids love to play with everything, but, you know, don't encourage them. I love my kids to explore nature, but stop at the bee. Don't explore that thing, right?
And that's also awesome advice. Yeah, look for nests. Do these things as parents. You got to keep an eye on them. Kids do like to play with things, and Dr. Hill has so many kids. He knows all this stuff. You're listening to Healthy Children on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.